A lot of times when we go through trials and tribulations, it seems easy to walk away from God. It seems easy to walk away from the house of God. But that's the wrong thing to do. That's the wrong thing to do. We're going to visit the same chapter of the same book. Last week we came from 2 Kings chapter 5, 1 through 19. And today we're going to come from the same book, same chapter, but we're going to start at verse 19 and finish out. Last week we talked about a Gentile Syrian named Naaman. Naaman had leprosy. He was a commander for the Syrian army. And it was a slave girl who told him about the man of God, Elisha, who was really from the enemy territory, the Israelites. And we know from that, we read last week, that Elisha sent his servant out to give Naaman a message. That message was to go to the Jordan River and dip 7 times. Naaman got upset because he didn't expect a servant to give him the message. He wanted to hear from Elisha himself. But how many of us know that God's assistance don't always match our expectations? And that was one of the points we talked about last week. But it's mighty ironic today we're going to see a twist in this story. Naaman has been healed. Elisha did not want any of his money. Let me have a word of prayer first. I'm getting too excited about this. Let us pray. We're going to do it right. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we just want to say thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to share your word. Father God, I ask that you forgive me of all my wicked ways, my sins, my thoughts that were not pleasing unto you, that I can stand here as a vessel to be used for your glory. Lord God, I ask that you fill me with thy Holy Spirit and that you allow me to only hurl out what the Spirit of God would have me to say. Father God, I pray for the listener who's under the sound of my voice, that their hearts may be conditioned and fashioned to receive the seed of the word today. And may the seeds fall on good ground today. We pray that you rebuke the devil, rebuke any demonic activity of distraction, of decoys or detours that may try to impede the communication from heaven to earth. Lord God, help us all, Father God, where we need help. And give us strength, Lord, we find ourselves fragile. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. But basically, Naaman was upset because Elisha didn't even come out the house to tell him how to be healed. This no-name servant who was insignificant to Naaman because of his status was the one who delivered the message. But when we look at verse 19, you should have it by now, this servant's name is actually going to be introduced. His name is Gehazi. He's Elisha's servant. He walked with Elisha, talked with Elisha, served with and for Elisha, the man of God. So he was exposed to the miracles of God. He was exposed to the teachings of God. He was exposed to the power of God. He was exposed to the miracles of God and all these great things God did in the hand of the man of God. But just because you're exposed don't mean you can't get exposed. Y'all not hearing me this day? The title of my message is The Power of Humility. The Power of Humility. Now, before we get into this text, we need to define biblical humility. Biblical humility is grounded in the character of God. The Father stoops down to help the poor and needy. The incarnate Son, Jesus, exhibits humility from the manger to the cross. The dual usage of meek and humble in heart emphasizes Christ's humility before humankind, whom he came to serve. In his submission before God, humility and meekness are often inseparable. A sign of genuine religion is humility. Humility is necessary to enter God's kingdom or to be great in it. It is the absence of self. It is a bankruptcy of spirit. that accrues no merit but depends solely on God. True humility is when you're able to carry a lot of weight and never talk, toot your own horn. Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, humbled himself, yes, even unto the death of a rugged cross. See, we have to understand the mechanism of that Roman execution. You hung criminals on crosses. So Jesus, who had no sin, took on a body, took on the sins of past, present, and future. He took on the sins of the world, and he died unto sin to reconcile man to God, and he did it with no guile inside of him. He did it and didn't say a mumbling word. And one of the things we as Christians need to understand as we grow in our faith is to grow in our humility. Humility has nothing to do with tenacity. Tenacity has the idea of your intensity of how you do things. Humility has nothing to do with preparation. You should prepare to be the best. But the Bible declares in Proverbs, let another man speak on you, not your own lips. So it's extremely important that humility has nothing to do with not having a good work ethic, but you have to use less of your mouth and use more of your hands. Humility is such a lost word in Christendom. Everyone wants to be the superstar. Everyone wants to be the leader. Everyone wants to be the boss of bosses. But when you have true humility, your work will speak for itself. When you have true humility, you will get plenty of opportunities to exercise the gifts and the power that God has invested in you. By this time, you should have verse 19. When you have it, say amen. Gehazi got tired of being humble. We're going to see what ended up happening to him. Amen. Verse 19 reads as follows. And it reads, verse 15, I'm going to go up to 15. When he returned to the man of God and all of his company, we're talking about Naaman, and stood before him, he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So please take a present from your servant now. Now we got to understand, it's easy to reject something you don't like. Let me say that again. But what if it's something that you always wanted, and God still tells you to reject it? What if it's something that in your wildest dreams you would wish you could have? But for this particular moment, it's not time for you to have it. Is anybody with me? The purpose of God healing Naaman was for Yahweh's name to go beyond the walls of Israel. Yahweh means the ever-present God. Okay? Yahweh, capital Y-A-W-E-H. Now, when you look back in the Old Testament, the Israelites used to spell it Y-W. It's like a four-letter word. Okay? And what the scholars would do, they would take the word Adonai, take the vowels out of Adonai, and put it in between the consonants. That's where you get Yahweh from. Yahweh means I'm always here at all times. Yahweh was the individual who talked to Moses at the burning bush. When Moses said, who should I say sent me? Yahweh said, I am sent you. We see Yahweh again in the New Testament, in John chapter 8 to be exact, when the Pharisees said, you're not even 50 years old yet. How can you say Abraham before Abraham I was? Are you with me? Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Whoa. And the Bible says they tore their clothes because they knew what he was saying. Jesus was saying, I'm Yahweh in the flesh. See, I'm the same Yahweh. Oh, y'all got to catch this. I'm the same Yahweh who was behind the burning bush. I'm also the same Yahweh when Elijah had a concussion spiritually when he was just finished killing off the prophets of Baal. Jezebel said, by this time tomorrow, I'm going to kill you. Elijah got scared. He got stressed. He ran. He went and hid into a cave. He needed rest. He was stressed out. He said, Lord, I'm tired of fighting this fight because nobody is believing. It seems like I'm the only one left. It was Yahweh that said, I have 7,000 that are just like you that have not bowed or kissed Baal. He said, God sent the earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. He sent the wind, but God was not in the wind. He shook the mountains, but God was not in the shaking. But the Bible said a still, small voice. That was Yahweh. See, it's hard to be humble when we don't know who we are. It's hard to be humble when we don't know who we belong to. And it's hard to be humble when we don't understand the character and the magnificence of the gods we serve. Let me say that again. If I don't know who I am, it's going to be hard for me to stay humble. If I don't know who I belong to, it's going to be hard for me to have humility. And if I don't understand the character and provision of God, i.e. Yahweh, then I'm going to have a hard time staying humble. We live in a world where it's every man or woman for themselves. And you have to get the gusto before we die. And it's very hard with that ideology to also introduce humility. Because humility and that ideology will not mix. It's like oil and water. But when I understand who I belong to, when I understand that the God I serve owns the cattle of the thousand hills, I don't have to brag. I still have to work, I still have to grind, I still have to prove myself, but I don't have to brag. When I understand that God is Jehovah Jireh, another name for God, now where do we see that in the text? Y'all remember Abraham, the father of the faith? God told Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac. Abraham, because of his faith, knowing who God was, he was able to humble himself and say, whatever you say, Lord, that's what it is. So the next day, the Bible declares that he got the donkey, he got the wood, he got the stubble, he got the hay, he got Isaac and a servant, and they went up to the top of the mountain. And the Bible further declares that when they got to the top of the mountain, his son said, Father, I see the wood. I see the altar. Well, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, the Lord himself will prepare a sacrifice. That is where the term Jehovah Jireh comes from. He is a God of provision. When I understand the Lord will provide, it will keep me from tooting my own horn unnecessarily. It will keep me from chasing things I really want out of the time limit God wants me to have it. Because I understand that God has certain assignments for each and every one of us, and you have to complete your assignment before you get your reward. But many of us want our reward without doing the assignment. Gehazi's assignment was to be Elisha's servant. God did not want Elisha to take this money from Naaman. This is why Elijah said, I don't need your money. I don't want your money. See, sometimes it's not good to take money from certain people. Let me say that again. Because I think everybody you know is on the up and up, so maybe this don't apply to you. But some of us know some individuals that are not doing everything they should be doing, and they have an increase of income. And you are aware of how they get their income. I'm not talking about something you're not aware of, all right? But when you know how they get their income, right? And sometimes you'll get tested by the enemy. You got a few bills behind. Somebody dropping out of 100s on your table. Hey, this is from me. You don't owe it back. Are you going to take it? Or are you going to believe that Jehovah will provide? Now, I don't want you to answer that question publicly. Because it's easy to say amen in the house of God. But when the rubber hits the road, when the rubber hits the road, are you with me? When the rubber hits the road and you have to make a decision that's going to question your faith, there's certain places I can't go. There's certain people I can't take money from because that money has a hook in it. Oh, y'all not walking with me? Y'all not walking with me? See, you gotta understand, Naaman had 450 pounds of silver and 150 pounds of gold. That's over $1 million in today's currency. What fool wouldn't want that blessing? But if the blessing is in the devil's hands, you better not touch it. The assignment was for Yahweh's name to get the glory and for Elisha and Gehazi's hands to be off of it. See, God does not want to share his glory. He does not want you to say it was because of who you were, this is how this happened. This because of who you were, this is how somebody's life changed. No, God will oftentimes put us in a deficit so he can get all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And he will put you in such a deficit where it won't nothing but the hand of God that made that happen. See, impossible is only for humans. Impossible can only be ascribed to humans. God does not understand what impossible means. Y'all not hearing me? God does not understand what impossible means because with God, all things are possible. Is anybody with me? Verse 15, it says, behold, now I know that there's a God in Israel. So please take this present from your servant now. Y'all got to catch that. He said, take it now. What's being presented to you that you want to get right now? Catch this. 16, but he said, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will take nothing. And he urged him to take it. But he refused. Verse 17, Naaman said, if not, please let your servant at least be given 2 mules loads of earth. We're going to skip down and go to 19 because we covered this last week. Let's go to 19. It says, he said to him, go in peace. So he departed from him some distance. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, thought, this is in his mind, behold, my master has spared this man's Naaman, the Aramean, by not receiving from his hands what he brought. As the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him. Whoa. Whoa. See, just because somebody's serving with you don't mean they think like you. Just because somebody walking with you don't mean they have the same mentality you have. So sometimes you have to check the people that's in your close proximity. Sometimes once a month, you need to test and make sure the people that are saying they're true to you, make sure they really have true allegiance to you. Because you don't know what's going on in someone's head. You don't know who's plotting what. And they're saying, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And they're plotting to put a knife in your back. You just never know. See, God did not want this man to take this guy's money. But Gehazi said, forget that. That's too big to pass up. And this leads us to our first point. Humility will keep you from justifying your sins and poor behavior. Humility will keep you from justifying your sins and poor behavior. Let's look at verse 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, thought, behold, my master has spared this Naaman, the Aramean, by not receiving from his hands that he brought, as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him. So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw one running after him, he came down from his chariot to meet him and said, is all well? Are you okay? Catch this. Verse 22. He said, oh, of course, all is well. All is well. By the way, my master has sent me, saying, behold, just now two young men, the sons of the prophets, have come to me, and from the hill country of Ephraim, please give me a talent of silver and two changes of clothes. Naaman said, be pleased to take two talents. You asked for one, I'm going to give you two. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver and two bags of two changes of clothes and gave them to two of his servants. Now, gave two of his servants, and they carried them before him. Verse 24. When he came to the hill, he took them from the hands, from their hands, and deposited them into his house. And he sent the men away, and they departed. Now, I'm going to stop right here and go to our second point. Humility will keep you from lying to yourself and lying to God. See, you can't commit sin until you first justify it. No one sins just to sin. When you're doing wrong, you have to play that play out. Let me tell y'all something. Let me tell us something. When people come to you with a complaint or a criticism, don't think for one second they didn't role play that in their head the day before they even came to you. Don't think they just that thought just dropped in their head. They played that thing out. They knew when to hit you. They knew to get you when you were going to your car. They knew to catch you when you were busy. That happens to me all the time. People will ask me questions when I have three or four things going on at the same time. Because you know I'm not in a position to analyze or process what you're saying. I'm trying to hurry up and get things done. So people are very methodical. Is anybody with me? Gehazi knew, how can I get some of that money? I have to, first of all, realize that Naaman was not an Israelite. Catch this. Sometimes people have to put you in a category so they can abuse you. Anybody catch that? See, if I want to treat you like an animal, I have to first consider you three-fifths of a human. So when I do you wrong, I'm going to keep telling myself I'm doing this to an animal, not a full human. See, Gehazi had to say, he's not an Israelite. He's not an Israelite. He's not an Israelite. Matter of fact, the Syrians are enemies of the Israelites. So what's wrong with stealing from an enemy? He couldn't just come straight out and say, you know what, sir, I would like to have some of that money. Can I have some money? No, he knew he had to be methodical. He had to be strategic, and he name dropped. Y'all know what name dropping is? I know so-and-so. So-and-so sent me. Let me tell us something. When someone tells you that somebody sent them to tell you something, you better do a background check on that. Don't accept it as face value, because this person may have an ulterior motive. They inject this person's name, who you have great respect for. So just for general principle, you take their word at face value. but they could have an ulterior motive for using this individual's name. And this individual may not have a clue that their name is being used illegitimately. Gehazi used the man of God's name out of context. He used Elisha's name illegitimately. Is anybody with me? He knew once I drop Elisha's name, I'm going to get all the money I want. You ever had somebody in your family treat you like that? That drop a person's name that you have great respect for just so they can get from you what they originally wanted? You sure so-and-so sent you? Go on and get them on the phone. Hey, this is Lamont. Yeah, I have a so-and-so over here. Is this true? This happens with a lot of church hoppers. Can I talk? They leave one church and go to a sister church and say, the pastor of this church gave me his blessing. Now, any smart pastor doesn't want that to happen to them, so they're going to have enough respect to say, let me call my brother up. Hey, Doc. Yeah, I got a brother so-and-so and his family over here. And I'm never going to turn down no members. But I just want to make sure they left right. Isn't it amazing how when you leave one doctor to go to another doctor, you have to go through an exit process? You have to fill out a form and get all your medical records. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You got to get your medical records transferred to this new doctor. So you have to have enough respect for that doctor or psychiatrist or psychologist to say, look, this is where I'm at right now. I'm going to go and take my insurance or business somewhere else. But this is the exit process. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? But with church, we just leave and say, I don't owe you an explanation. I don't feel like going here anymore, so I'm going to go to this church over here. But understand how you treat people is how you're going to get it back. That never fails. So when your life starts to get cracks in it, when your life starts to have leaks in it, you want people to treat you with respect, but you forget how you treated others. Gehazi should have realized there's a reason why the man of God don't want to touch this man's money. It's not that the money was evil. Let's get that straight. It's not that the money was evil, but sometimes when we do things out of the context of God's will, in that particular moment, it is evil. Are you with me? If God did not approve of Elijah taking that money, because he could have said, yeah, take the money and use it for the ministry, use it to bless the other prophets, help build a school, orphanages, or whatever. But for this particular moment, that was not God's master plan. So whatever God's master plan is, you got to follow that plan and not deviate from it. Gehazi said, I know more than God. That's really what he said. For him to run after Naaman, for him to make up a lie about the man of God, he was basically saying, God, I know more than you about my life. How many of us do that every day? Lord, no, I need to go say something to so-and-so because I can't take no more of this. Well, brother, you know you're not supposed to. I don't care. You have three strikes with me. Once you get past that third strike, I have a right to cuss you out. Y'all know people like, who said keep it real? Okay. Thank you. Because see, we serve a real God. And we serve a real Jesus. And you got real flesh on you. Your flesh is not cartoon and potatoes. You hit the wrong button at the wrong time, and you're not in the house of God, you may say something that you used to say 20 years ago. Because it's still there. It's just under lock and key by the Holy Spirit. Y'all not walking with me. But my point is, we have our own checkoff list with people. And once they cross that third check, then we feel we have a right to become God. God is saying, you don't know more about me about you. Y'all didn't catch that. You don't know more about me when it comes to you. God is saying, it's time to be humble. And humility has nothing to do with being weak. The devil will come and confuse the definition and say, if you're humble, you're being weak. No, humility is true power under control. And see, humility will allow you to avoid some unnecessary situations. But humility should come with knowledge. I've seen individuals talk trash to people, right? Like guys on the street. Now, you know this guy that he's talking trash to is capable of just beating him down. But this guy's never seen what this man can do. You know what this man can do. Like, hey man, just calm down. No, I'm going to say something. No. Like, this guy's a gang leader, man. This guy can call people up, shoot your house up. Be quiet. No, rah. Right? See, God is the same way. We talk trash about God, what he's not going to do. He's taking too long to do this. And it's like, do you understand who you're talking to? First of all, Gehazi put Naaman on a higher level than God. Because he was basically saying, Naaman will provide, not Jehovah will provide. Are y'all with me? What verse did we stop on? Verse 25? 24. Thank you, I like that. Verse 24 says, when he came to the hill, he took them from their hand and deposited them in their house, and he sent the men away, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. Look at this. And Elisha said to him, where have you been, Gehazi? That sound familiar? Genesis chapter 3. There was a conversation between Adam and the serpent. And the serpent said, you don't have to stay humble. You don't have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Did God really say you couldn't eat of this tree? No, he's holding out on you. See, he knows once you eat of this fruit, you'll be just like God. Eve ate of the fruit. She gave it to Adam, sent it into the world. They knew they were naked. Soon as that happened, the Bible declares that God was walking in the cool of the day. He said, Adam, where are you? Y'all remember that? See, humility. Oh my gosh, thank you, Jesus. This goes right to my third point. Humility will keep you from the full-blown consequences of your sin. Don't you understand that God could have done a whole lot more to you than what has already happened to you? We have to understand that. We have to understand that principle. You think you had it hard, or you think you really got what you deserve. No, you didn't. God diluted the punishment so you wouldn't go start raving mad. We should have been dead for some of the stuff we've done. We should have been dying a slow death in the hospital because some of the stuff we've been involved in. But God's grace, his mercy, held back the full-blown consequences of what we should have had. And none of us in this auditorium has a stone to throw at anybody else. When you understand the principle of God's grace, let's keep looking further. Let's look further. It says, but when he went in and stood before his master, and Elijah said to him, where have you been? And he said, your servant went nowhere. What are you talking about, Elisha? I haven't gone anywhere. See, wherever you've been, you bring back a stench with you that you can't smell, but other people can. If you have been unfaithful outside of the house of God and you come up and pop up in the house of God after 6 months being AWOL, we know, we can tell. Where you been? Haven't seen you in 9 months, brother. Haven't seen you in 9 months, sister. Oh, I just had this going on and okay. See, you can't mess with sin or disobedience and then that stick to you. So anywhere you go, you bring that with you. It's stuck on you. You can dress it up. You can use all the Christianese words in the Bible. God is good and he's good all the time, but you still have this stuck on you. God is going to ask all of us a question. Where have you been? Are y'all with me? Catch this. Y'all ready for it? He said, I haven't been anywhere. So now he's lying again. First he lied to Naaman, saying that Elisha sent him to get some money. Then he lied to the servants. He told them, I'll take it from here. Y'all can go back with Naaman. I'm going to take it to here. And he put it in his house. Now he's lying to the man of God, saying, I've been here the whole time. Look at verse 26. How many of us know you can't fool God? That's why you might as well humble yourself and submit to him now, because you can't fool him. You can fool me all day now. You can get a whole lot of stuff by me. But when it comes to God, you can't fool God. Let's look at this, verse 26. Then he said to him, did not my heart go with you when the man turned from his chariot to meet you? Is it a time, catch this, is it a time to receive money and to receive clothes and olive groves and vineyards and sheep and oxen and male and female servants? Therefore, let the church say therefore, the leprosy. Y'all got to buckle your seatbelts on this one. He didn't say, thank you, Lord. The leprosy. Let the church say the leprosy. Of Naaman shall cling to you. Y'all not hearing that? Oh, we ain't done. And your descendants forever. So he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Let me tell her something. Naaman was a Gentile, didn't even believe in Jehovah. But Naaman humbled himself. All right? He humbled himself under the man of God's hand, obeyed the man of God's directive, and he dipped in the Jordan 7 times. And the Bible says his leprosy left him. But because of Gehazi, who was of the nation of Israel, who had the oracles of God, who was exposed, got exposed. And when he got exposed, the very leprosy that Naaman had jumped on him. It wasn't just any leprosy. It was the exact same leprosy that was meant for somebody else jumped on him. See, when you disobey God, some of the diseases that was meant for somebody else, some of the diseases that somebody else got cured from, maybe the same ones that cling to you, because you've lied to yourself, you've lied to God, and you refuse to humble yourself under his mighty hand. So this connotes this understanding. Some of the stuff that we're carrying doesn't really belong to us. Some of us are carrying other people's depression. Some of us are carrying other people's addiction. Some of us are carrying, oh, y'all now walking with me. Some of us are carrying other people's broken mindsets. See, this says right here, because of what Gehazi did, everyone who carries your last name is going to have this struggle. Oh, man, y'all. Y'all, oh, yeah. Some of y'all just catching this now. Isn't it ironic that there's certain families we grow up with, and it seems like everybody in the family have the same type of messed up mentality. Everybody in the family got an issue with drugs or alcohol, or everybody ran women in this family. Everybody's on drugs in this family. It could be a generational curse, but when Jesus comes into the picture, he's able to break curses that man brought upon him or herself. It says, therefore, the leprosy of Naaman. He just didn't say leprosy. No. He said this belonged to Naaman. You ever heard the term one man's trash is another man's treasure? But in this case, one man's trash became this man's trash too. What's clinging to you? What's been clinging to you for 20 years that really does not belong to you? It came from someone else. What is it? Now, understand this. When I think of something clinging to you, I think of a parasite. A parasite needs a host, H-O-S-T. Let's use a tapeworm, for example. A lot of times, pork have worms in them, and you have to cook that stuff out. Amen? And if you eat a lot of hot dogs or a lot of pork, and they may have worms in them, those tapeworms, when they get in your body, will attach themselves or cling to you. Now, they cling to you because they feed off of what you feed off of. Oh, y'all got to catch this. So wherever you eat, that tapeworm eats. See, some of us have certain sins that have clinged to us. So whatever we do, it is the recipient of it. So that's why some of us can't hear the word of God when it goes forth, because there's something clinging to you. Y'all walking with me? See, sometimes there's a mental block. Yes, you have a nice suit on. Yes, you have your makeup on. You look nice. You look really nice. But you're not getting nothing from the word, because something is clinging to you, blocking your vision. It's impeding your understanding. It's blocking the word of God from getting that seed beyond that roadblock. So I'm going to ask you, what's clinging to you? But you know how you get it to detach itself? You have to go on a different type of diet. You have to go on a different type of diet to give it something that it can't digest. And the diet is the word of God. See, the more this word I get in me, some stuff that's been clinging to me, it has to fall off. See, if you ever had a tick on you, okay, you could try to pull it, you could try to snatch it out, but you may not want to do that, because the tick's body will separate and the head is still left in your skin. And a tick can cause Lyme disease. Is anybody with me? But in order to get a tick off of you, some people may use a credit card to scrape it off, but the old school people would take some type of thick oil and pour it on his back, because ticks breathe out of their back. They don't breathe out of their mouth. So as he's swelling up with blood, you take that oil and you pack him in with those breathing holes with something that's a different substance. And he has no choice but to let go. See, a lot of times stuff is not letting go of us because you're not pouring the oil of the word of God. inside of the tick that has attached itself to you. See, that depression has locked in on you. It's sucking you dry. You don't even want to get out the bed. You don't want to see the sunrise because this depression is sucking all the spiritual blood out of you. But when was the last time you started pouring the word? When was the last time you started quoting the word? When was the last time you said, I'm identified with Christ? I'm crucified with Christ. When was the last time you changed your diet? And it begins with humility. I must realize, come hell or high water, I must realize that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I must realize that he's greater than anything I go through. I must realize that if I'm in a deficit, I'm never in a deficit when I have Jesus on my side. I must realize when I'm hurting that God will keep me together and not allow my situation to tear me apart. I must realize that I have to trust God and not lean to my own understanding, but acknowledge him in all my ways, and he will make my crooked path straight. See, I must realize that Jesus Christ is above all and over all, and through all, I can do all. I can do all things through Christ. Who what? Strengthens me. Yes, you're going to get weak. Yes, you may lose your mind every now and then. But you don't have to stay in that state. Because when you realize who Jesus is, when you realize that when he walks on water, the water becomes as flat as a hard ground. When we realize that when he walks through fire, the fire loses its heat. When we realize that he could touch disease and disease has to go away. When we realize that at the name of Jesus, every knee gonna bow, every tongue is gonna confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When we realize that in the book of James, it says demons believe in God and they tremble. But it's amazing how demons tremble and we won't take the time to be taught from the word of God. Humble yourself. You're not humbling yourself so you can lose at life. No, see, the devil will make you think humility equals loss. No, I must lose myself in Christ so I can win in Christ. It's only by Jesus Christ I am who I am, and I will be who I'm going to become. If you want to be successful God's way, it has to be through Jesus Christ. If you want to have a successful marriage God's way, it has to be under the authority of Jesus Christ. If you want to be successful as a church member, it has to be through the authority of Jesus Christ. Nothing happens outside the authority of Jesus Christ. So when I take Christ out of my diet, I'm going to have parasites come in my life. I'm going to have ticks come in my life. I'm going to have leeches come in my life. I'm going to have everything that's destructive, destroying my mind, body, soul, and spirit, because I have changed my ways. I've changed my digestion. I've changed my destination. I've changed my direction, and I end up becoming a man lost, most miserable. Is anybody with me? He says, did not my heart go with you when the man turned from his travail to meet you? See, Gehazi misunderstood something that Elisha already knew. Elisha already knew that God is omnipresent and omniscient and all powerful. See, Elisha knew that he didn't need to know the whole situation to be fully informed. See, many of us are trying to play the victim and the detective. God is going to be the detective, and you don't have to be a victim. God sees all. And if you just get out the way and humble yourself, humble has the idea of to surrender my rights to God's ways. God took care of business because Elisha was humble. And God in his time revealed every step that Gehazi had done and said, you've been exposed. You've been exposed. But you know what this shows me too? You can be exposed to the truth and forget who you serve. A lot of times we forget that God sees everything we do. We all do it. You don't have to raise your hand. I'll raise your hand for you. When we walking in sin, because we do walk in sin from time to time. When we're walking in sin, we think God can't see us. But see, that's how sin will blind, man. Sin will blind you. Sin will blind you and make you deaf. Sin will have you thinking that, man, nobody gonna see me. God says, I see everything. I see everything. Now, I will reveal to you what you need to know. But understand, God sees all. So if you're being mistreated on your job, God sees it. If you're being mistreated at home, God sees it. But let me tell you something. Whoever's mistreating you and you're doing the right thing now, you're walking in the Lord. We're not talking about walking in disobedience. But if you're walking in the Lord, doing things God's way, the best you know how, and you're being mistreated, God's going to deal with those individuals. As he dealt with Gehazi, he said, I don't need to get leprosy from the guy down the street. I'm going to take the same leprosy out the Jordan River and put it right on you. The same one. And not just you, but all your descendants. So your whole family tree going to be known as being leprous. My God. Talking about falling from grace. So he went out from his presence, a leper, white as snow. Let us pray. Father God, forgive me for not humbling myself. During those times, I didn't. And I thank you, Father God, for giving me another chance to humble myself. Lord, one of the biggest crutches that we have as Christians is pride. We all struggle with pride. There's no one in this auditorium who does not struggle with pride. We're too proud to admit where we fall short. We're too proud to take assistance when it's offered. We're too proud to say, I'm not as strong as y'all think I am. We're just too proud. And pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Lord, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, asking you to help us to get humble and stay humble. Help us to always give you the praise, always give you the glory, always give you the honor. Help us, Father God, to catch ourselves when we want to talk about how good we are, how nice we are, how powerful we are, how smart we are, because we're nothing without you.